Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we explore the Old Testament book of Malachi and learn about the dangers of questioning God. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. We are in Malachi chapter 3. John, I am especially excited because this is one of the greatest prophetic passages in the Bible.
Oh, it is a fantastic passage referring to our coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and in his forerunner.
We mentioned at the beginning of this series of episodes from the book of Malachi that the name Malachi means messenger, my messenger. So God used Malachi as a messenger, really the last Old Testament prophet messenger. He's already referred to the Levites as God's messengers. But here in chapter 3, he's going to refer to two different messengers. And let's just dive right into it. I'm excited to get started. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, "Behold, I will send my messenger. He shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord, whom you seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." So at surface glance, you see messenger, messenger, and you might just assume that this is just one messenger. But looking at it more closely, you see really God's referring to two different messengers, isn't he?
Yes, he is, Pastor. We see in Mark chapter 1 where Mark even quotes this verse, and we find that the first one, "Behold, I will send my messenger," the one who's going to prepare. A lot of you would be familiar with John the Baptist as the forerunner for the Messiah. And here we have this first messenger who will prepare. We find this verse quoted in the New Testament as a reference to John because he was the forerunner for the Messiah.
So John the Baptist then was the messenger for the messenger. So in what sense, well, it's pretty easy, I guess, to understand in what sense John was a messenger. So he was a messenger in the sense of Isaiah 40, a messenger in the sense of Malachi 3, one that prepared the way of the Lord. And a messenger for a king would be one that would make sure that the road was clear, make sure that traffic had been cleared, he'd make sure that potholes had been filled, make straight a path for the Lord. It's kind of like the friend of a bridegroom. The friend of a bridegroom would be the one that would announce the coming of the bridegroom. It wasn't his job to marry the bride. It was his job to let people know what was happening. That was John. So John was that burning and shining light that came and told people there's coming the Messiah, the Lamb of God that will take away the sin of the world. So this is a reference to John, who would be a messenger for Christ. But Christ is also called the messenger. So in what sense is Jesus then the coming Messiah? In what sense is he a messenger?
You know, I think in the New Testament, so often it talked about the authority with which Christ spoke. The people, the Jews, the common people were just, you know, taken back and astonished by the authority Christ spoke. The Bible does emphasize the preaching and teaching of Christ in the New Testament. And what did Christ often talk about? He often talked about the kingdom of God. Talked about the kingdom of God, where God rules and reigns. You know, the people have been talking about, well, it seems like the evil are getting ahead. But someday there will be a kingdom when Christ will rule and reign, where there will be great righteousness. Righteousness will abound. It will cover the face of the earth as the waters cover the sea. It will be a great time. And Christ continually preached the idea. And Christ talked about the need for mankind's reconciliation. You know, the Jews often looked at the idea of a coming kingdom, but they often missed the spiritual import of that, how that Christ would come not just to give them physical deliverance, but to give them spiritual deliverance. And Christ deals a lot with these concepts in the Sermon on the Mount about, you know, the kingdom of God and what the citizens of the kingdom will be like.
So it's really not just a word of comfort, and it certainly is. He says, hey, the messenger of the covenant is coming. Whom you delight in. You're happy about this. You're loving the day when Messiah is going to come and rule the world and you're going to be part of that kingdom and all the things that you just said, John. But it's also a point of clarification, because when the messenger comes, there are some things that need to be dealt with. So look at verse 2. But the Bible says, but who shall abide the day of his coming? Oh, he's coming and you're happy about it, but who's going to be able to deal with that? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. So think about it. What has the Lord dealt with already in the book of Malachi? He's dealt with the treachery of the priesthood. He's dealt with the way they've treacherously dealt with their marriages. In short, he's rebuked them. So he says, hey, you're all excited about the messenger of the covenant coming, Messiah. You're happy. You're delighting in that. But understand that he's a righteous Messiah, and he's going to deal with sin.
I think, Pastor, often in the Old Testament, as the prophets saw down the road and saw the coming of the Messiah, a lot of times they did not, in their prophecies, always clearly, delineate what applied to the first coming and the second coming. And without doubt, the coming of Christ would be, on two different occasions. He came incarnated as a babe and then grew up and died for our sins. But the second coming of Christ, Christ will come back, and then he will establish his kingdom upon this earth. And we find in Revelation, throughout the Revelation, talks a lot about the coming kingdom. And I think Revelation 19, it talks about hallelujah, our Lord reigneth, and Christ does come. He comes on a white horse, and he comes now to destroy the enemies of God who have not followed God, have not turned to God. And he will establish a kingdom, and it will be a glorious time. But you are right, it will also be a very frightening time when Christ returns for those that do not know God.
One of the best ways to understand this, my friends, is to understand that God has a specific plan for his people, Israel. And God delineated that plan in the book of Daniel when he talked about the 70 weeks of years that he would deal with his people. Well, almost all of that, just 1 week remains, 1 week of years, 7 years for God to again turn his attention upon Israel. And the Old Testament saint, many of them did not see this gap between the first and second coming. But the Lord saw that, obviously. So when the Lord offered himself to the people of Nazareth, for instance, in Luke chapter 4, he quoted there Isaiah 61, and he stopped the prophecy mid-verse. He said, I've come to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, and he stopped. Because the rest of that verse in the prophecy in Isaiah says, and the day of the vengeance of our God. But what he was doing in the first coming was presenting himself. Jesus, Messiah, was presenting himself as the Savior of the world, the suffering servant, the one that would identify with us in our sin upon the cross. Now, will the day of judgment come? Absolutely. Is Armageddon future? Of course. Is it sure? You better believe it. He is coming again that second time. I liked one bumper sticker years ago. Jesus is coming again, and boy, is he mad. And I don't know that that's the best theology, but the point is that he is going to deal with sin.
The problem of sin upon this earth is a theme that we find throughout Scripture. We find in Revelation 6, where that those who've been martyred for the cause of Christ ask God how long it's going to be before he avenges them. God, why are you allowing the wicked to continue to go on and prosper? But Revelation does show us that God will deal with the wicked, and he'll answer the age-old question people often have who are trying to live for God. Why are the wicked seeming to get ahead and God doesn't seem to care? Well, God does care. And God will take care of the wicked. But as you mentioned last episode, Pastor, it's not going to be in our timing or what we think is right, but what the God of all creation knows is right.
And so he's going to deal with sin. But I think the implication in chapter 3 is, he's going to deal with us too.
Yes.
And think about how the Lord deals with our sin. Now, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, your sin, as far as a testimony against you, has been dealt with at the cross. You've been declared to be righteous. That's what justification means. But in a practical sense, as believers, we still deal with sin in our lives. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, the Bible says. And so the Lord does lovingly, through His Word and by His Spirit, deal with our sin. And I see some great examples here where it talks about the Lord's like a refiner's fire, a fuller's soap, like laundry soap. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi, purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. So the Lord is interested in our complete salvation. He's interested in our salvation from the penalty, from the power, and from the presence of sin. He wants to make us to be just like Jesus. And so he purifies us. In the process of purifying silver, I'm told, the refiner would sit in front of that fire and he would skim the impurities that fire would bring, that molten silver would bring the impurities to the top, and then would skim that. And how would one know when the silver was at a place of purity? I'm told, and I've read this by several commentators and those that would know the process, that the refiner of silver knew the silver was pure when he could clearly see his own image in the reflection on that silver. And what a great illustration that is. When are we where God wants us? When he can see his own image in us, when we reflect the image of Christ.
You know, I think in 2 Corinthians 3:18, a great passage there about the word of God. And it says, but we with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, you know, we're changed into that same image from glory into glory by the Spirit of God who's working in our heart. And that passage in 2 Corinthians 3 is talking about the word of God and how that many Jews did not understand it. But now that we who have been saved by the blood of Christ, we have our mind open. We are now illuminated, and now we are changed into the image of Christ by the Spirit working through the Word of God to conform us to the image of His Son. And you know what encourages me, Pastor, about Malachi 3 is that, yes, God has said some harsh things to these people. They're not right with God, but God loves them and God cares about them, and God is confronting their wrongdoing because He wants to refine them. He wants them to be who they ought be in Him.
Are you feeling conviction today, my friend, from the Word of God? You feel as if God is exposing. You listen to these podcasts, or maybe you're going to church or reading the Bible separately, and you're like, oh, ooh, ee. You feel as if you're getting beat up a bit. Hey, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. That means God's working on you. He's shaving off some of those rough edges. He's chiseling away some of those spots, those pointy spots that need to be made more like Christ. And so it's a good thing, not a bad thing. Remember, He's trying to bring into your life the person of Jesus more and more unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so good thoughts for us today. I hope you'll join us again tomorrow as we continue just talking about the Messiah and His work in our life. But we're done for today. Again, appreciate you joining us day by day. Hope you have a great day in the Lord. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.